Mini-episode 1023 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at Sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You'll want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris and Chris Galloway, your FDH Lounge original dignitaries, breaking down the NFL division by division. We're taking a look right here at the NFC East in 2018. My predictions in terms of records come from Fantasy Football Draftology 2018. Set these up going into training camp. So as I've already indicated with other divisions, I don't fully stand behind all of them, but I don't really look at anything right here and not stand behind it at this point. A year ago, and this was kind of a gimmick, but it just showed you how uncertain I was coming into the season, I picked all four teams at 8-8, and I picked Philadelphia in a tiebreaker to win the division. So I don't get to say I told you so the way that people who actually thought they were going to be a really good team can say I told you so. This year, obviously a world of difference between now and then, having won the Super Bowl. I have them winning the division by a comfortable margin. I've got them at 12-4. A little bit of a Super Bowl hangover in some ways, but I think that the Eagle organization has been nothing if not resilient in recent years here. Doug Peterson is already one of the great coaches in the league, a guy with a great emotional IQ, handle for how to manage his team. I think he's going to have him right where he needs him throughout. I've got Dallas at 9-7. Originally, I thought they might be a wild card team. They could be. I still have questions about them, especially defensively. The offensive line is not what it used to be. The wide receiver core, quite frankly, is one of the worst in the league at this point. But I think Dak Prescott is going to continue to improve. That's why I think they can get the 9-7. I think Elliott will be in there in the whole year unless he does something stupid again, which is the usual caveat with him. The Giants, I've got them at 7-9. I think they're going to come back somewhat. It's more or less an average of where they were the last two seasons, because that big turbo boost that they gave the defense two seasons ago carried them probably to an unrealistically high spot in the NFC. Last year was just the year where, again, Eli Manning goes down and nothing goes right. Odell Beckham goes down. Freudian slip. But nothing really went well for them at all last year. I think they're going to bounce back to whatever degree. I think Pat Shurmur is going to work well with Eli Manning. Washington at 5-11, I've been saying for a while, really ever since they got rid of Scott McLaughlin and basically made it the hands-on Dan Snyder show once again. They've been circling downwards. They lose Darius Geis for the year. I was actually picking them 5-11 with Darius Geis. So you look at the fact that they might have the worst running back room in the league right now. There's a scenario for them to be jockeying for the number one overall pick. And, of course, that won't cause Dan Snyder to look in the mirror, because really nothing ever causes that to happen. So I'm sure you probably agree with me at the top of the division, Chris. I'll be interested to see what you think the rest of the way through.
Well, I am. I'm going Giants at the top of the division.
Whoa!
Yeah, I am. This is to me is one of those. I look up and down this roster, and if Eli can play, just because he's got better weapons and he's finally got a running game, they fixed a big chunk of that. At least they fixed the left side of that line. If that holds. He had no line last year. He had no run game last year. OBJ went down, and it was a disaster. The defense got talent and speed. You've got OBJ back. If he's healthy all year, you've got you've got your home run hitter. You've got Saquon Barkley in that running game looking solid. You fixed the left side of the line. I like the Giants to come back strong and win the division, and I'm thinking like 11-5. A little bit of a renaissance year for Eli, but because they gave him a whole lot of help and weapons.
They certainly did.
You match that up, finally giving him weapons, the old man, He's experienced enough with a decent line that can keep him upright. You know, I think they're gonna win the division. I think the Eagles take a step back. They're loaded. Don't get me wrong. It's not a roster criticism. I think if they're smart, and boy, they better be, you know, Nick Foles should be the starter the first few weeks. When you have the doctor that did the surgery on his knee coming out and saying, hey, man, it's a process, and, you know, who cares if you've got to wait, you know, 3-4 weeks when you're talking, you know, 10, 12 years.
Right.
When the doctor's basically hinting at you in public in the press, hey, maybe you ought to wait an extra 3-4 weeks into the season, that's telling me, Nick, that's telling me that Nick Foles is most likely to be your starter the first 3 weeks. You talk about it, you know, he's like Blake Bulger's North this year in preseason. He has had a terrible preseason. And, you know, I think they're going to struggle. I think the other thing is, I think Malcolm Jenkins is right when they take down the Super Bowl poster. You know, it's time to stop celebrating. It's time to stop taking victory laps. We see teams that do this. They finally get over the top. They win one. And, you know, I mean, you got Jason Peters, you know, criticizing. Was it Jason Peters? Who was it? Was always criticizing the Patriots this offseason.
Right.
you know, like, oh, I'd rather just win one and be happy than be miserable and win six. Well, okay. you know, so I just, you know, I kind of feel like it's too much talking. Nick Foles writes a book in the offseason. Doug Peterson writes a book in the offseason. They're just talking and talking and talking and running a track. We are the champions, and look at us, and we're better than the Patriots. And I just feel like it's almost like Greek tragedy, like they're just set up for, like, failure. Like they're setting themselves up. They aren't like failure, like the bad team. They have way too much talent.
Right.
Just take a step back. And I suspect that that's how this story is going to be written this year.
Right.
And then I'm going to go Cowboys. My Cowboys. They have talent. So fired now on that offensive line. It shows you where, you know, some unexpected injuries, and suddenly now what goes from, like, being this rock-solid strength is now, you know, there's question marks there. You know, I guess that maybe back at some point in the season they didn't put him on the IR. And so, you know, Dak Prescott has got to show us something this year. He's going to have to play with the worst line that he's had in his young career. I like Dak. I'm not sure that, you know, he's all pro material yet. I'm not convinced.
Right.
Zeke's going to be a beast. Zeke's going to run. I think that's going to be fine. The receiving core is awful. I do like Michael Gallup. I like that draft pick. I think he can develop into a really good receiver. But they don't have enough there. You know, who's their tight end? I mean, they don't have that, you know. So they've got real problems. I mean, like, real problems. You know, question marks in their secondary. So even when they have, you know, some positive stories like Sean Lee's back, and, you know, they've got talent, but I worry that they're a 9-7 struggling to try to make the playoffs in a competitive NFC and probably don't.
Right.
Because I think that there's going to be too many things that too many games that are lost in crunch time because at the end of the day, the line falters or there's not enough talent. And then we get, of course, to the Redskins. You know, there's a chance that they could be a little better than you think, and I'm going to kind of put that a little bit on Alex Smith. You know, I'm not the biggest Alex Smith fan, but he doesn't make mistakes. Teams usually get better with him, and he, you know, has that ability to, you know, just make the right play at the right time, the veteran leadership. You know, I'm kind of like a 6-10 on them. Like, they're not going to be horrible, maybe a 7-9, but I'm with you. I mean, losing Darius Geis was a huge blow. I know they signed Adrian Peterson, and by week 6, he'll be broken down.
Right.
And, you know, he's pounding his chest now and screaming at the media, how dare you doubt me. But the reality is we all saw it last year, Adrian. And, you know, you're the only one that's not recognizing that Father Time has reached out, you know, decapitated you, or at least whacked your knees. And so I just see him, you know, I could see Adrian giving you a great 6 weeks, you know, out of the gate, like really just, you know, like people are like, wow, is he back? And then it'll just sort of fall off. because he's old and he's got a lot of miles. So I see them at the bottom, you know, sort of 6-10-ish, maybe 7-9, if Alex Smith is able to play up to where he, you know, he potentially could. But they don't have enough to keep Pete in that division.
No, they don't. And the thing is, too, his argument is completely invalid in terms of talking about his track record. Yeah, Gale Sayers was great once, too. I don't see anybody penciling him in for 2018 on anybody's starting roster. So, you know, him talking about what he's done in the past does not at all compute to what's happened in today's NFL. Too many city miles on that particular carcass. And in Philadelphia, again, I think this is...
Are you saying that Adrian Peterson is not the little car that the little old lady just took to the grocery market on Sunday?
No. Adrian Peterson is not. And that's... he is, yeah, at, you know, more city miles on that than basically a porn star, more or less, a cruise. And if you're, that's an apples-to-apples comparison if you're talking about career arcs, people. But as far as it, well, you know, it's the first one that came to mind for whatever reason. But in terms of Philadelphia, and I think this might be the core question for the season for this division, because what you're talking about is right. They have to show the amount of patience to get Carson Wentz back in there. The thing of it is that's very interesting. And for everybody that looked at how the Eagles ended the season, and again, that hot streak, we talked previously about Joe Flacco at the end of 2012. Decent amount of comparisons to what Nick Foles did down the stretch in 2017 as far as playing above his head. But the thing about Nick Foles is, and you remember it, I think it was the 2013 season in Philadelphia where he went like 26-2 on his touchdown interception ratio. Nick Foles, for a period of time, can shine. And he shined for an entire season previously under Chip Kelly. He shined down a stretch last year. But Nick Foles always turns back into a pumpkin. And you're already seeing it. And you're not going to see the Nick Foles of the playoff run this fall in Philadelphia. So as that happens and as the halo dims, how much of a leash do the Eagle fans, which remain pretty much just about the most powerful element of this whole thing here, for as much as they exert their will, how much is everyone involved going to give a leash to Carson Wentz to get healthy? Because I agree with you, and as a general fan of the NFL, I would like to see this guy have a long career. It's good for the league to see what he has been doing and to be able to have him go out there and have like an Aaron Rodgers-type arc over the course of his career. It'd be a shame to see that cut short by impatience this fall.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Foles, back to the old adage, he is so valuable. I'm so glad that the Eagles or the Browns did not go to trade for him. I know initially Browns offered a 2 for Nick Foles. I saw this last week. Joe Banner, who's pretty plugged into the Browns and the Eagles, said that that's not the case. The Browns did not offer a 2 for Nick Foles.
Okay.
And Banner's pretty critical of everybody after him in the Browns.
Right.
So for him to at least say, yeah, they did not offer a 2, is, you know, it made me feel better because I did not want to offer a 2 for Nick Foles. I know there were a lot of fans that did, and it was just because I just didn't believe it, what I saw. And then, you know, could they have offered a 3? Yeah, they probably offered to Tyrod Taylor. They probably tried for Foles first. When they didn't get Foles, they went to Tyrod Taylor.
Right.
And offered a 3 to Buffalo, and Buffalo looked at it. And I would have probably been like, all right, a 3 for Nick Foles, fine. You know, he's a veteran quarterback. You know, I get it. Yeah, I get the plan. But, you know, I would not have been happy with a 2. So, I think if the Eagles, the front office is, you know, they just tell the fans to settle down. You know, if we got to wait 5 weeks for Carson Wentz, you know, so that we can make sure he's solid for 12 years, we're going to wait 5 weeks. We don't care. We just won the Super Bowl, okay?
Right.
And you should. Philly fan is awful, but you should have a little bit of, you know, leeway in terms of letting your potential Hall of Fame quarterback potential come back, you know, from an injury after you've won a Super Bowl and not be all panicky about it.
Right.
So hopefully they do have the patience with Wentz and let him heal properly. And, you know, like, hey, oh, he can go to week 2. You know, let's do week 4. Let's just not. And the Eagles are still a playoff team, right? I mean, they're still going to be a playoff team, I think, at the end of the day. So, you know, all is well. You want him upright in the playoffs.
Exactly. And in Gangrene Nation, in terms of you know, restraint, good taste, whatever. Not exactly hallmarks of the Philly fan base here, but the three words that will determine the Eagles' season here, Chris, are if they can heed your advice of let's just not. But unfortunately, the track record of that fan base is not very strong in that regard. So we'll see how it plays out, because I think that's going to have a lot to do with what happens with the Eagles this year, and God help them, maybe going forward in the NFL.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.